Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a Bravo podcast. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. How are you, Ben?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. I thought you were going to do the intro, so I was just sitting here like, wow, can't wait to hear what Ben is going to say. But guess
was
what?
It my?
No, it's my turn. It's my turn.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was starting this Monday.
That's how Monday begins. That's great. We could do it together.
Yeah. Well, welcome everybody. Happy Monday and happy final reunion day of Real Housewives of Atlanta. As usual, if you want this on video, you can find that on Patreon. Okay. On Crappens On Demand. Also, that's where you find our bonus episodes and Discord server, a free newsletter that's like a recap of all this stuff that we talk about during the week. And ad-free listing, which is a big one. Go get it. And also, thanks you to everybody who came out last night in San Francisco to see Daisy and Hannah and I on the seas. It was a really good time. They spilled a lot of tea on the seas. All right. And it was super fun hanging out with them. Really nice. We hung out a lot, 8 hours, and we had a really good time. I was exhausted by the time I was done. Jesus, I don't talk to anybody that much except for you.
Well, who knows? Maybe I've uncorked your ability to talk with other people for a long space of time. Yeah, also, thank you.
I didn't get bored. They were great.
Thank you also to those who came to the book talk. One Crappens listener came up to me afterwards and she brought her son to this cookbook moment we had with Martin Sorge. Remember, I was like, his name is Martin Sorge. And then I started saying his name is Martin Sorge because that's what Google said. Guess what? His name is Martin Sorge. But Great Bakes was the book. Oh. And thanks to everyone who came to that. And one Crappens listener brought her son, and her son asked a question during the Q&A, and it was the messiest question of all. He was like, what was the stuff we didn't see on Great American Baking Show? Like, what was really going on? And I was like, ugh, I love that the children of the Crappens listeners are asking the messy questions. I love, first of all, that he asked a question in the first place, but that he represented the Crappens community so well. But seriously, thanks to everyone who came to that event. It was so lovely.
Was it a messy answer too?
No, it was all polite. It was all good. Basically what Martin said is that actually, like, it's a really, really nice production, and what you see is what you get. And there was no messiness behind the scenes.
Oh, just too bad. You know, bless that kid for trying. Get messier, Martin.
I know.
Just kidding. Well, here we are. Real Housewives of Atlanta, season 17, episode 20. Reunion Pod 3.
Ooh, exciting times. The reunion.
They must be exhausted by the time they leave this reunion.
It's intense. They give a lot.
Up the entire time. I mean, there is no... even the parts where I was like, okay, all right, guys. Again, I say it during almost every reunion. We do not need three parts. We don't need it. But God, I laugh every time.
This is a great cast. Like, it is a great, great cast. Like, who cares what I had complained about, how sort of late in the season, maybe the final act of the season kind of started to run out of gas. But that has nothing to do with the fact that this is a great cast. Their chemistry is amazing. They are hilarious. Their reads are nonstop. Andy basically gave them his blessing at the end of the reunion, where he's like, wow, this baby, I haven't had this much fun since back in the day. So, I think we have a great foundation for next season.
Yeah. Let's see where it goes next season. I guess we can talk at the end, like, who do you think will be back? Let's get through this first.
We could talk about it at a crappy hour tonight. How about that instead?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Crappy hour tonight, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Join us. Be there. It's live.
Either or be square.
So we open with K. Michelle paranoia. It's the paranoia montage, the plotting and the planning. You're all plotting and planning against me. And all of the evidence is cuckoo bird. You know, it's the... you know Black. How dare you say I know Black? I don't know that man. And then the Portia making a casual oyster is like a vagina reference, to which K. Michelle also took umbrage.
Mm-hmm.
Compared it to the rumors of her allegedly smelly vagina in the past. So yeah. It was just a roller coaster of K. Michelle's beginning part of the season, where she was just really overly paranoid about every little thing.
Yes. And so Andy's like, are you a confessional warrior? And she's like, well, I'm an emotional tweeter. Yeah, that's right. It's like, okay, I'm a confessional gangster. She's like, okay, let's settle down there. So Andy's like, you basically, everyone's like, what? You had everyone going nuts. Like, what's going on with you? And she's like,
well, I don't know. Like, someone asked me, how do you know black? And I'm like, huh? So then I look at my phone and I look and he had said something. And I guess he was talking to himself. And then I look in there and I was like, I guess I had said hi to him. But like, I didn't really know him and I didn't know him at all. And then I went to the color and I went to a store and they asked about the color wheel. And I said, well, you got like Roy G. Beef and then you got brown, you got black, whatever. They're like, you know the color black. And I was like, oh my God, why are you saying that? I'm having a fight with anybody. I can't even understand anymore.
Truly. Like, K. Michelle, here is the chance. You've had all of this season to watch back, and you've kind of confused the audience. Now is your chance to explain yourself. Like, what the
She's
fuck?
She's like, I looked in the phone, and I said something, and then Drew said something, so then I thought of this. I was like, okay. I mean, actually, she handled it with good humor.
But it still didn't make any damn sense. But we did get a new piece of evidence that was brought to the forefront. Miss I Don't Know Black. And he's just some guy who sent me a DM one time. She let it slip in there in the middle of all this.
Oh, yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, we did a play together. And then, okay, so I do know.
You did a play together? That's knowing somebody. Anybody who's done a play together knows you know somebody. If someone said, I know Ronnie, we just did a dinner theater show together in 1990, I would still know that person. I mean, that's an intense thing, a play. We are all
I think there may be a misinterpretation on your part here. Because she said, yes, because... her direct quote is,
I'm like, okay, he is talking to himself. Oh, yeah, I said to him, we did a play together. I said, oh, thank you for coming.
I think that we did a play together. She was not saying she did a play with Black. I think she was saying we did a play with someone else. And maybe she was even talking to someone on the stage because I just don't remember exactly. And she said that what she wrote to him was, thank you for coming to the play that she was in with a shared person. So it's not that she was in a play with Black. I love to think that they did Our Town together, but...
Me too. Especially if it was Our Town. That would be the probably only entertaining version of that show that's ever been done. If it
K. Michelle's the narrator.
Well, okay, they're kids and they can throw up the die. What else new?
What a K. Michelle just does, like all the great American plays.
I remember Mama. Okay. So it's, there's a family and they're not doing so well. The end.
It's like, okay, what about Ah Wilderness?
Goodness, man, he's real depressed and he sells some shoes and then he goes off and kills himself at the end.
He's just like mixing all the plays together.
Okay, The Crucible. So there are these witches in Salem and they're up to witchcraft, which is no good, so they get hanged. But you know what? They probably deserved it. The end.
There's this lady who cheated on a guy, and then all of a sudden, everybody's calling her a whore because she knows Black. And I said, she didn't even know Black.
A girl. Scarlet Stella. Letter. Yeah.
Stella.
Sarah. Stella. Stella, you bitch.
This woman named Stella, she was driven mad because of her friend group. So she just walks around New Orleans, sluts around, whores herself out. The end.
Angelical cats, angelical whiskey, angelical Jesus, angelical bitch. You better shut up, man.
Yeah,
her name is Heidi, and she has some chronicles. Big deal. The end.
Okay, this show has me believing anything because we've seen many a play done on this show where I'm like, that's a play, I guess. And we've seen many a rehearsal for things that I can't believe her even things, but so I believed it. I was like, oh, okay. They did a play together. Black, the hookup magnate and K. Michelle
did Summerstock.
I just showed up thinking that's what it was. And I was like, hey, that's new evidence. You lied to me.
Famously, K. Michelle and Black were in the Williamstown Festival, performing in M. Butterfly. So K. Michelle is a mother's love. Kim. So anyway, well, I could go backwards on all day.
How did you go from Heidi Chronicles and M. Butterfly to a mother's?
Well, we're talking about the great American playbook.
Who was it? Who did A Mother's Love? That was Candy.
Candy Burris. It's Candy.
Candy, yeah.
Yeah. That's more of a musical. Angels in America, anyone?
All right. So they did not do a play together, probably. But I really came here today like, huh, she was in a play with him? Well, that is knowing somebody. You really know somebody.
She was.
You see them memorize a monologue.
I could be wrong. She's like, I mean, maybe they were in the Philadelphia story together. Who knows? Maybe he was C.K. Dexter Haven.
Okay.
I'll just go on. The whole episode, I'm just going to be talking about plays. We're out of plays. We love plays. So K. Michelle says,
so as time goes on, it's around Atlanta that me and Drew are dating like the same man. Okay? And like, so by this time we get to Dallas and she's like, your friend. I'm like, why is it my friend?
And Andy's like, well, Drew, I mean, you thought they had met or spoken. And Drew's like, yeah, because when you saw him on FaceTime, you seemed familiar. I'm surprised they didn't air the clip again, which they aired many times a season, of K. Michelle waving, doing like an auntie wave into the camera. Like when your phone gets passed around at the holidays.
Good to see you.
When you're remote from your family at the holidays and they pass it around, like, hi, we'll see you next year at Thanksgiving. Like, that's the wave she gave to Black, you know?
Yeah. So she's like,
yeah. And then even before I got there, that's why I went in the DM and I was asked, do I know him? And then, I'm going to sit there and look at him because I just saw him in the DM. So, of course, I'm going to say, like, hi, how are you? I just saw him in the DMs.
So Andy's like, so you were just acknowledging that you've spoken. She's like,
yeah. And you know, like, you're not hiding anything. Like, I know you know.
I was like, I still don't understand. And it was cracking me up the whole time. I was like, so basically you didn't know him, but you did know him, but you don't know him. And no one insinuated that you were doing this guy. Come on.
Yeah. So Andy's like, okay, let's move on to the oyster. Okay, you realize, Kay, that by you bringing it up, you caused something that I know you did not probably want discussed to then be discussed, which, of course, is the rumors about her lady parts. And Kay Michelle's like, well, I felt like if I was going to be discussed anyway, then here I am, here it is. And let me tell you, not only here I am, I smell great.
I wish they showed the clip because it was my favorite part of the season where she's like,
you want to talk about my vagina? You don't even know this vagina. I've had 8 vaginas since then.
Whatever she said. That was probably the funniest thing said all season. I just kept rewinding that and rewinding it.
You don't even know this vagina. You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
She is so funny to me. She is so, every time I see anyone on Twitter say that she's a flop or something, I'm like, you're wrong. She is so funny at all times, intentionally, unintentionally, across the spectrum. She's funny to me. And that's what
she's definitely a unique person. My God. And I agree with you. I don't mean that as a diss. Like, she is one of a kind.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
She's still trying to explain herself. Nobody really gets it. And Drew's like, but I was just trying to get along with you. I was just trying to bond with you. Now they're talking about the oyster. And it's funny how watching these shows really does make you, it does put a sinister air on certain things. Because when they showed the oyster scene again, I was like, oh, well, maybe they are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are referencing the vagina thing now that we know about it, and then seeing how they were talking about it. But I thought, no, this show's making me paranoid now. So
yeah.
I got over it pretty quickly.
Good for you. That sounded so condescending. I didn't even mean it to be condescending.
But it's, I mean,
I was like, I'm happy. I'm glad. Good for you, sweetheart. Bless your heart. Glad for your journey. Just a random shade that came out of nowhere. meant more like, I'm glad. I'm glad that you got it.
No, I know how you meant it. And so then they talk about the vagina a little bit. And Drew's like, I didn't even know that story about your vagina. What? The defamation of the vagina? I hadn't even heard of that, Andy. But that, you know what? That is not, you know, that's, oh no, it was Kelly. He's like, well, that's not crazy for these ladies to dig up past things on people. Okay, Kelly. Okay.
Yeah. Kelly's
you are one of these few. I like when Kelly gets all moral with everybody and then goes back to who's your man fucking? Okay, one thing I will say, the cast is great and very funny. When Kelly gets activated and she goes really high with the voice, I've had enough of that. That is like sirens passing my house.
Kelly drives me nuts. I think if she weren't like dressed like a crafts night thing that went awry, I would have more tolerance. But just like sitting there watching her with these big pearls, like sort of cascading over her head, like a little handle for like Sophia's pocketbook on the Golden Girls. I just can't. Yeah. It's like,
I was going to say a little girl church purse, you know, like a fancy purse, but I think Sophia's handlebar is better.
Yeah. It's like, but homemade. It's like the homemade version. It's like a tribute. You went to Crafts Night at the local community center and you were like, I'm going to make Sophia's bag. And then you came out with this like weird, like wireframe thing. And you're like,
Nuts. So Kay Michelle's like, well, maybe I'm overthinking. And Portia's like, yeah, you're like on a mission to find all of this stuff to be true. And it was just such a waste because we wanted to get along with you. And Angela's like, oh, I get it. You know, and I get that she looks crazy, but she's not, you know, because I came the same way in my first season. She's like, I put it all out there. You know, I knew the rumors. And so I just put them out there, you know, Phaedra in that hole. Like I was trying to push a square peg in a circle hole.
Why are you talking about my house?
So then
I'm suing you for defamation. About circle holes.
So Kay Michelle is like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out and whatnot, you know, just how it is. And Drew's like, well, let me say this. I understand your perspective, so I appreciate you for sharing it because it's scary being a part of this group. You know, the people that will try to come into this sisterhood and infiltrate and place wedges, especially when you've been in feature films with John Travolta. And Andy's like, okay, well, Portia and Kay Michelle, we discussed the thing with your ex. Could it be that this person also is either trying to get back at Portia for some of this stuff? What? Like, maybe is that?
She's like, yeah, and 100%. And she's, even today, she said that I was still with him or sleeping with him.
But also, okay, so they've talked about the ex, but then didn't we also find out in this reunion that Kay Michelle is still talking to him and getting gossip from this guy?
I have to tell you something. This little facet of this like relationship that's come up a few times in this reunion and this season has not been sticky with my brain. It like comes and goes. I see it. I'm like,
they're getting all fighty with each other about it. But this was something that happened on Twitter. This was a big thing.
Just a little too off screen for me to really retain from week to week.
Yes.
Like, I really can't comment on it because I'm not. My brain won't accept it.
Kay Michelle says that she and Portia do get along. They laugh together and they can be, you know, they're going to be fine. And this version of Kay Michelle is just fun loving. She's like, well, I know it's just so silly. But she really spent the first half of her season losing it about all of this little shit that wasn't even true or didn't even make any sense and was kind of all in her head. So Portia's like, well, you know, I'm glad you got over it, but, you know, I'm rooting for you on this show. I watch the show. You're great on it. And they're all we actually like you, Kay Michelle. We like you.
It's like a nice moment. And there's almost like something that's finally put to bed because all season long we've been saying like, Kay Michelle, you're in your head. You're trying to get ahead of these stories too much. And you're actually damaging these relationships. Just like put your heart into it but like open your heart to it a little bit more. And I was like, this is a really nice moment of resolution. And then I was like, oh, and you know, Shamia is just going to ruin it. And sure enough, Gray Cloud and the Godiva chocolate wrapper just is like, she suddenly You see her, she has that look on her face, and we're like, okay, what is she gonna say? And it's, of course, because my first thought was like, okay, Shamia's probably going to say something about like, oh wow, funny how Portia can have like the patience for K. Michelle, but with me, she can't. I just assumed that was going to come next. And she sort of has a variation on that. She says, I mean, I'm so happy y'all, like you're all able to move on. But like in your interview, you said K picked the wrong team, but I was like accused of having alliances. Like, what do you mean by her picking up? Shamia is just like the queen of the what about, what about, what about, what about, what about. I'm like, it's exhausting, Shamia. Bring back the ray of light, Shamia, that I knew and loved years ago.
Yeah, it's old, and it's but sometimes I feel bad for Shamia because it's just everybody comes to a, it's like, oh, okay, resolution, we're all happy. Well, not me. Well, great, now you're getting along with Portia, great. Let's fuck it up. It's like, oh, it's just so, you've got nothing, you know? And you, it's not just that you have an alliance. It's that your head was up Portia's ass for a decade until you got on the show and then turned on her. I mean, there's so many aspects to it that Shamia just wants to water down and be like, yeah, but what about what you did? You are. And it's just exhausting at this point. And Portia's just not paying her any dust. She's just rolling her eyes like, whatever. Yeah.
Had this stuff with the moms not happened, there would have been hope. There's no hope. But I think the approach that she should have been taking is not like, like, look at this double standard. I think there's of course Portia will have a double standard. She always has double standards. Portia is, we love Portia, but I would not look at her as someone who is always the most, what's the right word to say? Like, I think Portia is like self-involved. That's probably what makes her a great housewife. And so usually people who are self-involved, you can't expect any sort of like logic or reason from them, because it's all just going to be whatever logic supports what they need is the logic they're going to go with, which means that you will find that there will be double standards with those people. So for Shamia constantly being like, but what about, you were nice to her, but what about me, you said this about me. It's like that you're not going to get anywhere with that. You should say, I would love if the spirit that you like in the spirit of resolution you came to with K. Michelle, I love if we could lean into that a little bit with our relationship. And I feel like we could really start to rebuild or something like that. But if you're constantly trying to like have a gotcha moment with Portia or really with anyone, people don't respond well to gotcha moments. You're just not going to get anywhere.
Well, gotcha, Shamia. We love gotcha, Shamia. The audience definitely responds to gotcha moments. We love them, especially, you know, housewives audiences love a gotcha moment. She just doesn't ever have one. She just fails at them all. And that's the thing with Shamia. It's like she's not a hateable person. She's a very likable person. And that's why it's so sad to just see her strike out over and over again. Like, get back on the bench already. Jesus Christ. Yeah, like, at this point, you're wasting the hot dog sales. You know what I mean? Go back to the bench. So also, alliance, that didn't even make any sense, but I really want bread. So also, housewives are alliances. You're literally split onto couches based on whose team you were on this season. Portia's side is one alliance. You're one alliance. Everybody just stop crying about it, for Christ's sake.
I think she just doesn't really like being viewed as someone who like plays by the team. I think the thing is that she sees Portia as someone who like, you know, says, here's this team, like, here's my team, and then the rest is your team. And she doesn't like that. So she doesn't want to be seen as someone who also participates in teams and alliances or whatever. But you do, like, whether it's like official or not, you have your people and you have the people that are not your people. And so, like, rather than resisting it and trying to like get her on this like bit of logic or whatever, this is not a debate club. Like, maybe this would be effective at a professional debate where you earn points for making, like, you get points for making points. But this is Housewives. And so the gotcha moments that we like are the ones that are funny and trip people up in their own hypocrisy. But like, this doesn't trip anyone up. It's just sort of like, it's like, but you said, yeah. You know, it's like, well,
and it's also not even your fight. Like, what are you even in? You're losing enough in all of your own storyline fights for you to have to jump in on someone else making up and try and do it, you know.
That's not working. It's unpleasant. It's like, if you're having it, there's a genuinely nice moment happening in a largely contentious reunion, and you have to sort of turn it into an acrimonious moment about yourself. It's just like, it's just not a good look.
Yeah, so then Portia gets her, and she's like, well, okay, now that she wants to chime in, I heard Shamia say, like, I'm not like the girls in this group who think she's a liar and who think she's delusional and the world hates her. Shamia's like, what? She goes, well, that was talking about this group. She's like, when did you hear me say that? And Angela's like, you said it in Dallas. You said these girls plot and scheme just like you all do on me. And she's like, well, I was just letting her know because I knew that she would see the interview. And I don't think that you're crazy. You know, I don't think you have personalities like, you know, multiple personalities like all of them do. Okay, so Shamia, you lost another one. Just you, why are you walking into it? You're setting your own trap. You're like putting your own cheese in a trap and then you're eating the cheese.
Why? I would do that because the cheese is delicious.
I would too. I mean, she's.
It'll be like, it's worth it. Break my fucking back. I mean, just
how many
give
times
me that
have
cheddar.
I literally gone into my fridge and been like, but cheese is mold. How bad can this be?
Literally just walking into my own trap over and over again.
So but she loses saying. That one. And then. Shamia's like, oh, well, it's easy for me to be the fall guy because I have conflicts with so many of these women. Right. But that's not making you the fall guy. It's making you the person that has conflicts with everybody. Why is that?
Yes. Yes, exactly. It's too many. You have too many conflicts, Shamia. She's just a teenager right now. That's all. She's trying to find her voice. She's like, okay, I've been so nice. I've held my tongue. I've sort of repressed my own feelings or suppressed my own feelings in order to help my friend Portia shine. And now I'm on the stage. And I thought Portia, after all these years of me wanting to help her shine, Portia didn't really help me shine as much as I would have liked. And you know what? And now I got kind of burned by it. So I'm just going to be me. But now she's overcompensated. And even says later on, like, well, you took the advice, use your voice. You really went with it. But it's like that thing where you're learning about like, you know, coming out of the closet, you're like, you know, when guys come out of the closet, they almost always have this like hookup spree, you know, and it's because it's like, wow, I got all, like, it's everything now. Like I'm released. And then you learn to sort of pull back and calibrate. And I think that she is just in her having a voice.
You know what? Here's what I say to your voice. Shut up. There's that saying, like, everybody's feelings are valid. And then there's the counter. No, they're not. Some feelings are stupid. And this, your feelings are now expired. The validity.
Well, that's the thing. It's
the expiration date has. I felt free for 2 weeks, and that's how.
No,
long
no.
You
think
get?
Of it like a parking garage. Think of it like a parking garage. Your emotions are valid for the first 2 hours, and afterwards it's $1.50 for 20 minutes. Okay, like even garages. Yeah. Even validation in garages runs out. This is not all day validation.
At some point, I'm just going to say, I'm going to park on the street so I don't have to deal with you and your validation, your needs of validation. Okay?
Yeah.
So, K. Michelle is like, well, you know, I don't want you to feel like that. You know how to get under my skin, Drew. Because now they are talking about Drew. Andy's like, whoa, what about Drew and K. Michelle? Haven't we already discussed this? It's the third hour. We've already talked about K. Michelle and Drew. So now the question is, are you guys going to make up? And K. Michelle's like, oh, well, you know, we have fun going back and forth. And she knows how to get under my skin. But, you know, part of me enjoys it. And I love that she's acting like, oh, Drew just gets under her skin. You are the one in the car blaring out the, you know, the national anthem, making fun of her, leaving the. This whole, like, K. Michelle, everybody getting under K. Michelle's skin is cracking me up. And she's just she's so personable that even Drew's like, okay, yeah, that was fun.
I
enjoyed it.
I'm not going to discount someone who says that Drew Sidora gets under their skin. I think there's a good chance she gets under a lot of people's skin. I think that's a fair. I think it's allowed. I think it's allowed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Meredith from... wearing a mask at the spa, Beauty Lab and Laser says, Kelly, do you ever feel like you're a rebound BFF because Portia and Shamia are no longer BFFs? She's like, no, I'm not a rebound. Me and Shamia have built a true friendship and I can truly call and count on her.
Well, of course, you got to say that because you're a little bit, you're living in her house and wearing probably the same dress from her out from her wardrobe since it's the same designer. I mean,
yeah, you,
she's yeah, you're it's a rebound. You're a rebound.
It's a rebound.
It's a rebound.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Well, Jolene from Please Don't Take My Man said,
sorry, I don't know why I'm talking like Kelly, like Kay.
Kelly, if you think frickin' fracker whack, that gets me every time. Why are you asking Phaedra, aka Frack, to help you fight your ex-husband in court?
And this, I think, is a great question. Like, how are you going to go get so much help from one person and then just diss them constantly in interviews and behind their back?
Yeah.
That's really
it's gross. I actually think it's gross. Yeah, and it I think gross. The way she, I think in this segment, she was gross because she's like, well, I didn't ask Phaedra. Phaedra offered me their advice. So it's like, okay, just like you stop. Like, just say, oh, you know what? I was just trying to be funny. The truth is I love Phaedra. And this was really more dedicated towards Frick than Frack or whatever. But like she said, she's like, not, she's sort of like, she's like, oh no, well, no, Phaedra came to me. Like, oh, I was fine without Phaedra. And then she says that they built a relationship off camera and like, yes, Phaedra helped me, but also I paid them $10,000. So it wasn't for free. And so then Phaedra's like, yeah, but your billable hours were well over $60,000. And she's like, well, whatever. It's like, they're like, it's, you got a discount. And Kelly is just, she's just turning her nose up at actually this generous thing that Phaedra's firm is doing for her.
Yeah. And anyone who's ever had to hire a lawyer knows how crazy expensive that is. And $10,000 is dropped, especially for a contentious divorce. That's, yeah, crazy to just be like, whatever, I gave her $10,000. So everybody needs to stop acting like it was free. Let's be clear. And Phaedra's like, oh, yeah, there was a lot to be done. And Kelly says, well, but I'd already paid my attorney over $250,000. So he'd done a lot of the work already. So she just had to take the work that he did and use that work.
Really?
See, that's
so you're
that's
talking
really,
about
that's
how big
robbed.
You are to pay $10,000 and then you admit to spending $250,000. Like, compare those two numbers, Kelly. And didn't Phaedra win Kelly's case?
I don't know. I don't remember. But also if Phaedra is still representing Kelly, like I would be shocked if Kelly doesn't get dropped, because it's one thing to be it's one thing to not be gracious about this, like, largely free work that you're getting. But it's another to say, oh, not only that, they didn't really do anything. It was another lawyer did most of the work and they just coasted on top of that. Because now you were saying that the lawyers really don't bring anything to the table. And that's
right, you're
incredibly
calling her basically
shitty.
Lazy now. Like, oh, all she did was take someone else's work. And yeah, it is shitty. And it doesn't surprise me at all from Kelly. And yes, Phaedra Parks won the legal case for Kelly regarding her custody and filming rights battle against her ex-husband. So someone wins the case. I mean, this is really bad. But then again, when you're someone who's taking from everybody and you're on a show where you have to fight, what do? You know?
Yeah. Well, I think she's about to get dropped by that firm if it hasn't happened already, because I think that's bad. Bullshit. They're helping you with your divorce and they're saving you $50,000 and you're still going to complain, essentially, or not complain, but like sort of what's the look the gift horse in the mouth? That's shitty. Do not approve.
Yeah. So Portia's like, well, why are you discrediting what she did? And she's like, no, I'm not. Phaedra said, yes, you are. And she's like, well, hold on, golden retrievers. Hold on. Angela's like, I had to pay $5,000 just to respond to a cease and desist from Shamia. And she's like, I don't have anything to do with that. You just cease over there. And she's like, with your brokers. Well, Angela will just take any chance to just jump in and call Kelly broke.
I know, it's funny. So
it has nothing to do with anything. It's like, Kelly, love your outfit. Broke! You're broke!
Andy asks Phaedra, how she feels about this all. And Phaedra's like, well, I was disappointed because I've been a good friend to Kelly. And anytime Kelly calls me, I pick up and I've given her information of great restaurateurs that could help her. I mean, she's sitting right next to Pinky, who's a restaurateur, and she never helped her, which I love, just a straight up Pinky. And Pinky's like, yes, I have. I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. Have I not helped you with with information? And Kelly's like, no, we've had good conversations. Because yes, we've had good conversations. Next.
Yeah, but also, like, no, Pinky, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's not even comparable. You've got, Phaedra's like, I've helped her. I gave her information of great restaurateurs that could, like, Phaedra's giving her contacts and stuff like that. And Pinky's like, well, we've had conversations. So next. It's not really the same. And you're discounting it again.
Yeah. But, you know, that's good. I'm sure Pinky could help Kelly with navigating bankruptcy very nicely. So Andy is like, he's like, okay, well, Stephanie from her private jet wants to know what's up with Rum Bum. The one person in America has finally asked the question. So Shamia's like, oh my God, I'm just so disappointed. Unfortunately, I tried to get a deal done and heard nothing but crickets, because this is a company that is family owned and the father, it's like his baby, and he's like not trying to release it by any means. Lady, you should have known this. I'm sorry, you should have known this. If you're like, something went awry along the way, because it should have been clear. Obviously the company thought there was gonna be one situation happening, which was we're going to whatever it was that they offered later in the season. And Shamia's team
got to slap your name on something to, you know, like a special
licensing, or, maybe,
you know, like a special,
whatever it was.
Yeah, like the Cynthia, what was the tea or whatever she came out.
Yeah.
With. You know, it's like a housewife, like Lina Rips, you know, Rinna Lips. You just slap your name on something and a company makes a little version of it. And they make a money for a year or two. And then, you know, they still have their other business. So that's what's confusing, because she says he didn't want to release it. Were you trying to buy the rum company? I thought she was doing kind of a label thing.
But also, like, you go to another company? Is this like the only company you can do Rum Bum with? I don't know. I think it's probably a blessing
because
disguise
her husband
that Rum
got
Bum
involved. When she was talking with her husband, Gerald, and they were all on the phone, it sounded like there was a pretty heavy investment that she was going to get. And that's usually not how it works on a Housewives business that you slap your name on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He probably was like, this
invest.
Is not right.
They come to you. It's like, we're a wine company and we're going to come out with your wine called Watch What Crappens Wine. And we'll give you a dollar for every
Bloody Piggy
bottle that sold.
Yeah.
Right. Like the Bloody Piggy or whatever. The most famous of all of the Housewives alcohols.
I can't believe that was really a thing.
Anyway, the point is that, like, obviously something went awry here. It sucks for her that it didn't work out. I think it's a blessing in disguise. I think Rum Bum is like, I just like a, like, to me, Rum Bum is down there with Bloody Piggy. So I think it's okay that this, we just move on. She just moves forward with a new idea next season. If she even comes back next season.
You want to come up with a delicious alcohol based on my ass? Ass juice.
That's one of the sadder ideas.
Rum Bum and it tastes like a peach. I'm like, oh, everything is. I just don't like peach flavoring. That's my thing too. So I'm like automatically against it. So then Andy's asking Kelly about her second Nana's location closing so soon. And like, did she bite off more than she could handle? And she's like, oh, I did really want it to work. And that was my third location. And my first time like really having to close an actual location because it didn't do well. So it was hurtful for me. It was hard. And Cynthia's like, it was hurtful for me too. It was 10 minutes away from me. Very hurtful to Link Bailey and my waffle intake.
So why was Drew so evil about showing up at the restaurant on social media and making, you know, making like a funny video about it? That was cold. And Drew's like, well, I mean, I've always been very supportive of Kelly. She's like, oh, please cut it out. But, you know, I was going to support, but I just couldn't support. And let's not act like she's so supportive. And Kelly's like, oh, please, she lives all the way in Duluth. And then she says she's going to go get food for my kids. You don't even have your kids. Stop it.
So then they go back and forth about the kids. And I think actually, do they even get to the bottom of the original question, which is why did Drew like film such a shady video? And then ultimately, Drew just winds up calling Kelly a chihuahua. And she goes, you know, one minute we're cool. Then you come for me saying, I don't buy something from your ball main event, and et cetera. And she goes, well, because you lied. You lied. Even Angela said you lied. I mean, Angela will say anyone lies, right? Angela's like, yeah, but you're still talking about it. So basically, yeah, Drew is able to not answer that question at all because he gets sidetracked with this whole discussion. And
but also, it's just so gross for Kelly to say you don't even have your kids. That is like bottom of the barrel.
Especially when what she's going through herself.
Yes. You know, I think
that's something they bonded over last season.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. But Drew is like, I don't even want to say Teflon because Teflon dings. And she's just like, she's like Tupperware. Just bounces off of her. It doesn't even affect her. She's like, I do have my kids, so what do you mean? And then they just move on. I feel like any other housewife show would be like, how dare you? How dare you bring my children into this? Be 5 years. Do you remember you brought my children into this?
Well, it happens on this show in about 10 minutes. So then now they're talking about being broke bitches. And Kelly is like, girl, you've been hanging out with Drew so bad. Now you're lying, Angela. And Angela's like, lies, baby. I sit on these 12s by myself. And Kelly's like, no, you're lying. Standing on the two inches. That's all you've been doing is standing on the 2 inches. And she's like, no, baby, that's your money. That's your 2 inches. Not my heels, baby. Jimmy Choo.
They're just, I mean, it's another, it's like, wow, it's the third hour of every 10 minutes. Angela and Kelly are just going to yell at each other about one having big feet and the other one being broke. It's like,
but Angela always wins.
Your feet are big. Oh, yeah. Well, you're short. Oh, yeah. You got huge feet. Oh, yeah. Well, you're tiny and broke.
So Kelly's like, are you a big dog? Are you a big dog? She'll say, I am. The Oakleys are up, baby. You better get on a winning team. And Andy's like, ha, ha, ha. He's just loving this. And then Kelly's like, the Oakleys are just like driving around in a 2012 Land Range Rover, purple Range Rover last season. And then that's what really gets Angela mad. She's like, bitch, what? That was a 2020. That was a 6-year-old car.
Oh my gosh. And Kelly has, I guess, practiced golden retriever because she just keeps calling her a golden retriever. And Angela's like, yeah, and you have new teeth and nowhere to sleep. You broke bitch. Who's a broke bitch? You are. Who's a broke bitch? You moved into Shamia's house because you got evicted. And he's like, okay, all right.
So good.
They finally, Andy's like, okay, Jesus. And Kelly's like, make her stop, Andy. And Kelly's doing the full on, you know, fire truck siren now, where she's just, and Andy's like, all right, stop. She goes, well, make her stop, Andy. She can't stop. And he's like, you can't stop either, for Christ's sake.
So then he asks her about the $70,000 teeth. Like, why didn't you just like, maybe like make a deal with a dentist and get it for like $30,000, put the rest towards something like living expenses or something like that. And Kelly's like, who said that he didn't? Well, so then Andy goes, oh, okay. I'm like, no, it's not an OOK. It's still $70,000 that went to the teeth. It's still, regardless of what Jervis or Jarvis paid on the side to help the family, I still think the $70,000, when you're talking about bankruptcy and you're talking about living expenses and talking about having to move here and there, and like it's constant about like how you're like living on the margins, I still don't get the $70,000 teeth. You know that, you know, it's rude to count other people's money, but guess what? I'm rude. So I'm counting your money and I'm saying it's in the wrong place.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you only because it's teeth. And I feel like, look, he could have helped with food. You eat food and you poop it out. Like, what good is that? It's going to keep you alive another day. Okay, great. You pay the electricity bill. It's just due next month. But food, teeth last forever. Fake ones, you know, like the new, the implants. you can be eating till you're 100 years old with those same teeth. So I feel
What's the point of having those teeth if you don't have if you don't have the food to eat with them, if you don't have the electricity to brush, use your electronic toothbrush to brush them, if you don't
you're
have
more
the
likely to get a job with good teeth. You're more likely to get things in life if with a nice rack of teeth. Everybody knows it. Dr. Heavenly's been telling us for years.
We know it's the truth.
I mean, I think at least it's something useful. At least it's not like a fancy car or like a stupid purse, you know, that's $5,000. I mean, teeth, that's...
The thing is this, she already had teeth. I'm going to just gonna say this right now. She already had teeth. This was not a homeless, not toothless situation. She was like... This was a toothless, not toothless situation. Like, she had teeth. This is shocking, but I think she already could eat the food and do all the things. So I'm just saying, I do think it's, I think if she weren't making us sit through endless scenes of bankruptcy and what about my kids? What am we going to do? Blah, 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 blah. Got to find out. And like, it's hard for her. Look, and obviously, by the way, you know, of course, people are allowed to spend their money how they want to, you know, like it's like if you could be in financial dire straits, but you want to do something nice for yourself, like you're allowed to do nice things for yourself. But I just think in this case, this is a really nice thing to do for yourself. And I think it's cray cray. Personally, I do. You can do the nice thing and I can do the nasty thing, which is judge it.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last naming.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.